welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
What does the Holy Spirit do? He turns on the light so that you can experience reality and empowers you to do His will. But when He does those things, and the Holy Spirit enlightens you, that in itself is not automatically fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because fellowship isn't just a one-way thing, right? Fellowship is a two-way thing. It's an interaction. So it's not fellowship until you respond in a certain way to that enlightening. Well, what way? How do you respond? What does the Bible tell us is the way that we're supposed to respond to the Holy Spirit? I mean, we've learned how to draw near to the Father. We've learned how to draw near to the Son. What does the Bible say about interacting with the Spirit? What are we supposed to do? Well, Scripture mentions numerous things. It says to walk by the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit, don't resist the Spirit, don't quench the Spirit. We got all that. And we'll plan on looking into all those next time. But for this morning, I just want to focus on one. And that's the one in Ephesians 5:18. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, command, be filled by the Spirit. Be filled by the Spirit. So let's talk about Spirit filling. What does it mean to be filled? If you study the concept of fullness of God in the rest of the book of Ephesians and in the Old Testament background, what you'll find is the fullness of God refers to the abundance, an abundance of what God has to offer. The word fullness has to do with abundance. So the fullness of God is a great experience of the presence and attributes of God. That's the fullness of God. A huge experience of that. That's fullness. And so to be filled with that means to have a life dominated by the glory and power and presence of God. And if the Spirit's work is mainly enlightenment and empowerment, then being filled by the Spirit means having a huge, great, abundant experience of enlightenment and empowerment. Make sense? It's a life, being filled by the Spirit means having a life filled up to the brim with a lot of enlightenment and empowerment from the Spirit. That's the filling of the Spirit. But there's a problem. Huge problem. Big time obstacle to getting that done. Stands in our way and keeps it from happening. Keeps us from being filled up full to the brim with enlightenment and empowerment. What is this thing? What is this enemy? It is the flesh. The flesh. Wherever you read about the work of the Spirit, you're also going to read about the flesh in that same context. Whether it's Romans 8 or Ephesians 5 or Galatians 5, you're just going to read about this problem of the flesh because it's always what stands in the way of the filling of the Spirit. The great enemy of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is the flesh. You say, flesh? What do you mean flesh? What is that? The metaphor of the flesh in Scripture, whenever you see that metaphor, it refers to that part of you that responds to the selfish impulses of the body. Your flesh is a part of you that responds to the selfish impulses of the body. So, you're sitting there, you see someone who needs help, and part of you wants to go over and help them. But another part of you says, you know what, I'm comfortable. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like getting up and helping that person because I don't feel like being inconvenienced right now. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. Your flesh always cares more about physical pleasure and comfort than anything else. Your own physical pleasure and comfort. So your flesh is that part of you that just responds to bodily impulses and just wants, your flesh is that part of you that wants to eat twice as many calories as you need. Right? Your flesh is that part of you that seeks sexual gratification even if it goes outside of marriage, outside of God's bounds of what God has provided. It doesn't matter. It just wants gratification. Your flesh is that part of you that just says, look, sleep in. Even if it costs you your job, just sleep. If you don't feel like getting up, don't get up. Your flesh is that part of you that causes you to slack off at work just because you just don't feel like working hard. Your flesh is that part of you that panics at the thought of committing to some ministry that might end up being hard. Hard? Oh, no. And then he just freaks out. That's your flesh. And that is the main tool that Satan uses to get you to do what he wants you to do. Turn back to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Fascinating verse here. Just compare verse 2, Ephesians 2:2, to the next verse, verse 3. And you'll see this. In verse 2, he's talking about what we used to be like before we became Christians. He says, you all followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Who's that? That's Satan, right? You followed the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work, and those who are disobedient. And all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. You see that? You see how following the cravings of the flesh equals following the will of the devil, the way of Satan. You see, most of the time, the way Satan gets you to do his will is not so much through persuasive arguments, persuading you, oh, this sin, this is the way to go. This makes a lot of sense. This is perfectly wise to go. He doesn't do that. The way he gets you to do his will is just simply by getting you to turn the keys of your life over to the flesh and just let your flesh decide what you're going to do. He knows that'll work. Satan knows that'll work. He can count on it. If he can just get you to operate on the impulses of your flesh, he can count on the fact that you will do his will. It will take you right down the center line of the will of Satan in your life. You heard a lot of sermons on how to find God's will for your life. Here's a sermon on how to find Satan's will for your life. Just do whatever you feel like doing. Turn your life over to your flesh. Do whatever you feel like doing. Don't ever do anything you don't feel like doing. Just operate on the impulses of your body, the selfish impulses of your body, and you will fulfill Satan's will. Now there's a word for that. A biblical word for that. The word that you don't hear very often, we never use it, hardly ever, but it describes, it refers to what happens when you just turn control of your life over to the flesh. You know, normally, your flesh is always trying to pull you towards sin and towards folly and foolishness and stupidity. And your mind is resisting that, right? And so you're kind of your flesh is saying, stay in bed, and your mind says, no, I gotta get up. And you're fighting, you're warring. Right? You're resisting. But when a person just gives up that fight, just say, I quit, and just shuts off his mind, lets go, just stops thinking about consequences, stops thinking about spiritual realities, and just gives in, letting the impulses of the flesh just carry him off without restraint. There's a word for that. The biblical term for when you do that, when you turn everything over to the flesh, is debauchery. Debauchery. That's what that word debauchery means. Debauchery, and the thing about debauchery is it's always the opposite of being filled by the Spirit. Back to Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which is debauchery. Instead, be filled by the Spirit. Okay? Now, why does he bring up drunkenness here? Drunkenness is crucial for understanding how to be filled by the Spirit. In order to understand the filling of the Spirit, you have to understand what's bad about drunkenness. And what's bad about drunkenness is it's debauchery. It gives control over to the flesh. I mean, think about it. When people get drunk, why do they do bad things when they get drunk? Why do people do more bad things when they're drunk than when they're not drunk? Where does that sin come from? The alcohol? Is there sin, pressed into the little bits of alcohol in the drink? No. No, there's no sin in alcohol. No sin ever came from alcohol. Where does sin come from? What did Jesus say? All sin comes from where? The heart. All of it comes from the heart. No sin ever came out of any bottle. Ever. So, what happens when you drink? When you get drunk, does the alcohol control your behavior and force you to do bad things against your will? No. No, it doesn't do that. When a person is drunk, their free will is 100% intact. In fact, that's actually the problem. Their will is a little too free. When they're drunk, their will just has no restraint. The flesh has no restraint. You see, the reason drunk people do bad things is because there's this war between the flesh and the mind, and they're at war all the time. And what alcohol does is it handicaps the mind, and the flesh takes over. There's a war that is raging right now. It's raging every day in the Christian life on the battleground of your soul. It's taking place. Your soul is the battleground of this war. And on one side of this war is the Spirit of the living God, who wants you to do His will. And on the other side of this war is Satan, who wants you to do his will. And they're fighting. The war is between God and the devil. And every single moment of your Christian life, including this one, this moment, right now, you are either fulfilling the will of Satan or you're fulfilling the will of God. There's nothing else. There's no option in between. You're either doing Satan's will or God's will, right now in every moment of your life. And the big question is whether you're going to be a tool of Satan to fulfill his will or a tool of God to fulfill his will. That's the question in life. And the main way the devil uses to get you to do his will is by getting you to just turn over control to your flesh. The part of you that Satan uses to gain control of you is your flesh. But what about the spirit? What part of you does he use to gain control? To get you to do his will? The main part of you that Satan uses is the flesh. What does the Spirit use? Answer? The redeemed mind. He uses your mind. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about the difference between living according to the flesh and living according to the Spirit. And the difference is all about the mind. Listen to this. Romans 8:4. We do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. You see, that makes perfect sense because the main way the Spirit, what does the Spirit do? What's the Spirit all about? Enlightenment, right? He goes for the mind. The Spirit turns on the light so you can see the goodness and the beauty and the desirability of His way. Satan doesn't do it. Satan's all about darkness. He doesn't ever turn on the lights. He wants darkness. Why? Because if the lights are ever turned on and you could see Satan's way for what it really is, it would be repulsive and ugly and disgusting and you would never want to go that way. So he doesn't do that. He doesn't turn on the lights, turns off the lights, doesn't let you see the truth about his way, and then he gets you to take that way, not through argument, but by impulse, by giving control to the flesh. But not the Spirit. Holy Spirit is all about enlightenment. If you want to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and you want to have fellowship with Him and respond to Him, it's going to involve your mind in a very significant way. And this is important. I wanted to mention this because there are some of our dear charismatic friends have been confused on this and thought that living by the Spirit is all about living by impulses. They think that living by the Spirit is about feelings and instead of studying God's Word, they just want to live by feelings and urgings and promptings and they just think that they're looking for impulses that come from the Holy Spirit, that they think is coming from the Holy Spirit. And what they fail to realize is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of revelation, of knowledge, of insight, of understanding. He leads us by showing us truth. Spirit's work is to turn on the light, reveal, enlighten, make known, open the eyes. And does that have an effect on the emotions? Does that have an effect on your affections, the way you feel, your feelings? Yes, absolutely, but not until it passes through the mind. Not until it's understood. Feelings of joy come through understanding. Feelings of hope come through insight. desire for God, delight in God, godly impulses, godly feelings, all that comes through the mind grasping the Word of Jesus Christ and the Scriptures through the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspective might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.